It's so awesome to just be able to speak with you all this morning, you know, virtually all across Eastern Canada. You know, what a cool opportunity we kind of get to have at this point in time where we can worship together from across all places in Ontario, in Quebec, Nova Scotia, and I'm sure in other cities as well. So thank you again for being with us this morning. And also, I just want to say thank you to everyone that's been involved in today's amazing, amazing service. Guys, it takes a lot of work and organizing and just skills to just put an online service together. So I just want to say thank you and we appreciate all your guys' hard work. My name is Fervin. This is my wife, Jasmine. And we've been married for about 5 years now, as well as have a 18-month-old now. I can't believe it, but he's definitely kept our life pretty busy these days. But we really wouldn't want it any other way. Leon just completes our family.
And Fervin and I also have the privilege to lead a group of young professionals in the Hamilton Church. Being young professionals ourselves, we understand how it can be an exciting time, just being a recent graduate or entering the job market, newly married, or being first-time parents. And although it can be exciting, it can also come with challenges and can be scary and lonely. So we just commend all the young professionals out there for your faith that continues to want to engage with God and with others despite facing all these life difficulties and challenges.
And that's just a little bit about us. And, you know, we're excited. Again, we just feel honored to be able to just share with you guys this morning the Word of God and what we're learning with you guys this morning. Wherever you guys are on your journey with God, and our hope is that you guys kind of just feel, you know, encouraged and uplifted and just engaged with God during this time. So the title of my message this morning is The Mindful Truth. And kudos to my amazing wife who actually came up with the title. It's kind of a play on words, which I'll touch upon in a bit. But lately I've found that God's been teaching me the difference of being mindful or having a mind that's full. And, you know, really, I guess what he's trying to teach me this far is just the example that we heard from earlier from the brothers and sisters, just sharing about a lie that's just taking up space in their life that's, you know, either affecting them, and a promise or a scripture or, you know, characteristic of God that just helps them really overcome that. And I think no matter, you know, where we are throughout our life, you know, the ability to just be able to identify those lies just shows such healthy and, you know, just maturity in our faith, that we can identify these lies and know that it is a lie. It is a tough question to be able to be honest with ourselves. But we have two choices, and I think really is, are we going to let these lies fester up, taking up space, you know, affecting who we are, affecting our mindset and our attitude? Or do we take, you know, captive of each thought, fully knowing that it's a weakness in our characteristic that, you know, that but God makes us stronger kind of through it all. And I couldn't help but just think of the example that we have in Christ Jesus. If I could, you know, share personally a lie that I guess takes up space in my life, you know, today is just, you know, when I'm overcome by stress or just the busyness of life, just the common anxieties, you know, I want to indulge in something that I can find comfort in, something quickly. You know, is it food for me? It can be sometimes. Is it just, you know, watching endless movies, videos online to kind of just, you know, just kind of veg out in a way, you know, kind of just clear that space in my mind and just not think of anything. And that's something that, you know, I can really struggle with at times. One of many scriptures that I just like to hold on to, you know, and even pray over is in 1 Corinthians 10:13. And it reads, "The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, he'll show you a way out so that you can endure it."
And for me, although when I think about this question, there are quite a few lies that can circulate in my mind on a daily basis. But a lie that I always have to fight and take captive is the lie that my worth is determined by how I perform. I have to admit, my sinful nature is living for the good praises of people. So the times when I feel that I do not portray myself to be strong or capable or intelligent, a huge wave of self-doubt and insecurity covers over me. And this lie keeps me from wanting to open up my heart to others, invest in friendships. And I think this also can translate in my relationship with God, where I feel like God does not really love me if I'm not performing to the best of my abilities as a quote-unquote Christian. And despite believing this lie, though, at times, what helps me to get back on track to remembering that my worth is not determined by how I perform, but rather thinking and remembering that I am God's daughter. Mm-hmm. And God says that I have immeasurable amount of worth because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And so since God said that's true, then it has to be true, and there's no question asked that this is fact, and that's it. That's how I should always believe that about myself.
Amen. That's awesome. God's just been really pulling me into just a direction of trying to really teach me of being mindful of what I think. And I've been learning more about just the attitude of Christ, the mindset of Christ. And the questions of, how I might be applying it, you might need to ask my wife for that. But I have an awesome scripture that just really just brings it home. And it's actually in Philippians 2, verses 1 to 8.
Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Mm-hmm. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross.
I can't help but just feel absolutely challenged in verse 5 when Paul writes, and I'm going to read kind of two different translations here, and first being in the NIV. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. In the NLT, it reads, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Wow. To have the same mindset, the same attitude that Jesus had, I mean, what does that even look like? You know, for starters, how does it translate to me? How do I mimic that? How do I reflect that same mindset that Jesus had? It sounds pretty challenging to say the least. But the great thing is that Paul doesn't kind of keep us hanging as to what that looks like. And he continues in verse 6 to 8. You know, when you just kind of look back at it briefly, you know, you see that Jesus didn't think, you know, of himself equally with God, even though he was God. You know, he was humble, giving up his divine privileges to the point of becoming human and dying a cross, dying on the cross, sorry. And I honestly don't think, there really is a word that even kind of just describes or can even just do justice of just the amount of humility that Jesus had. Mm. And it's so immense, the Christ's humility. And, Jesus being humble to the point of obedience, it touches upon again. And to start this kind of, I guess, shift of attitude of, well, how does fervent, how do we, shift our attitude in terms of just trying to renew our minds, trying to just have that same mindset as Christ? We got to start filling it with not only God's truth, but first being humble of recognizing those lies. Mm-hmm. That might be dominant in our lives and putting it before God. I think only then can we just have a similar mindset or attitude as Christ Jesus. When I read this scripture, I can't help but think of the fact that Jesus knew exactly what he was going to go through. you know, on the on his journey on earth, that from the moment when he turned water to wine, all the way up till, you know, the last meal with his disciples, eventually being arrested and then crucified, he knew what he was going to go through. And I just can't help but imagine what was going on in his mind. What thoughts or lies were Satan trying to throw at him during this time? And to just see that just humility was just really the foundation and pillar of what kept them going. Just knowing that, you know, who he is and that he's not going to stop. I think that was just such an amazing perspective. You know, the fact that he could, as he's gathering his first disciples, at around, you know, 30 years of age, to know that he probably has 2 or 3 years left on this earth and still being so mission focused. I mean, man, that's an attitude that I wish I could achieve one day. And it's just, it just boggles my mind of how Jesus could do that. But we just find throughout scripture constantly that, you know, when Jesus was even tempted, just, you know, it's always attacking his identity, attacking who he is. Attacking how God views us. And I think that's why it's so important to just be humble and take knowing to kind of just take a step back and like, okay, you know, I know these thoughts aren't mine, and to kind of just get back into the Word, get back into just you know, really fixing our eyes on Jesus. If we take Jesus' example of just this complete immense humility, there's no doubt that it'll bring us to just a moment of clarity, kind of sift through these thoughts. To fix our mindsets, to fix our attitudes on Jesus, and not just react to current circumstances, but rather thrive in knowing that Jesus went through more than we could possibly relate, and yet remained humble, mm-hmm. and set his mind on things above. There's a few questions that the chapter Philippians 2 that Paul kind of just gives us, that's really quick to kind of read over. But I'm just going to remind us, it says in verse 1, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? You know, four, but really deep and short questions to kind of just help us get in that mindset similar to Christ Jesus. And, you know, when reading this question, you know, all of a sudden, all these answers start coming in my head, zooming in and out, you know, all these thoughts coming to, you know, do I find comfort in his love? Is, you know, belonging to him? And it says, like, maybe sometimes, depending on how I feel. And all these thoughts just coming in and out of my mind. And I just can't help, for those that, you know, who can relate to it, is, you know, in our modern times of going to the pharmacies or grocery store, you know, there's that gatekeeper of, you know, asking all those questions. Hey, any travel in the 14 days? Any COVID-like symptoms? Any headaches? Have you been random or positive? And so on and so on and so on and so forth. And you're like, oh man, I'm just trying to get in here and do my grocery shopping. Maybe some of us were smart enough to do curbside pickup and are just waiting in our car relaxing. Well, kudos to you. But you know, so I'm trying to do my groceries, and then I get home, and obviously Jasmine asks me, hey, where are the bananas? And I forgot the bananas. And in that moment, you know, I really want to say, yeah, you know, it's my fault, completely forgot. But in my heart, in my mind, I'm just kind of like, you know what, it's totally that lady's fault. I kept asking me all these questions before coming in, and I forgot the bananas. But, you know, our day-to-day events, guys, in our life, we have so many thoughts coming kind of just through our mind, and it's distracting. It can affect, you know, how we behave, and, you know, when we come back home, or if we've just been home, you know, our attitude towards others and strangers, it can really affect how we live. And, you know, the amount of thoughts that go to our brain, I think if we were to quantify that, what's your best guess? What do you think? How many thoughts do you think we go through in a day?
Must be a lot. I'll say 400. Or 4,321.
4,321. That's very specific. but it's actually about 6,200 thoughts a day. Mm-hmm. And very cool and actually recent study from a team of psychologists in Queen's University studied. They're studying the human thought. And what they did was they've been studying you know, a certain amount of people through, you know, duration of time. And they've actually found a way to, depending on the patterns of the brain and the activities of the brain, they can determine and see when a thought has started, entered your mind, and then left it onto a new thought. And it's pretty groundbreaking. And it's only happened, I believe, last year. And it's happening in our own backyard at Queen's University in Canada. So I thought that was really cool. But on average, they say it's about 6,200 thoughts a day. That's pretty crazy. You know, that's a lot of thoughts. And, you know, it can be kind of overwhelming at first when I think about that. And then now I start having all these thoughts coming in my head. But my main point is that, you know, regardless of our day-to-day stuff and all these kind of thoughts coming in and out of our minds, is that, you know, by focusing on the truths and the promise that God provides us, you know, disciplining our time and investing in our time to our personal Bible study, to our prayer life, and to fellowship, to, you know, our small groups in our churches or wherever it may be in our communities of faith, you know, that it'll really provide a space for us to just have that mindset of Christ, to shift our attitudes mm-hmm. to more Christ-like attitudes. There's a moment in time when, I guess, men and women's thoughts were aligned with God's. You know, I'm talking back in the Garden of Eden, and, you know, times were peaceful, our thoughts were maybe 6,200 thoughts a day. You know, it was a little more simplified. You know, there's harmony, there's deep intimacy with God. It was peaceful, it was joyful. And, you know, all was perfect. And, you know, really until a lie was introduced. And, you know, you could read that in Genesis 3, verse 1 to 7. And, you know, at that moment, there was no longer that safety, that peace, the harmony, that deep intimacy with God was lost. And, you know, what exactly is, I guess, the cost of believing these lies? Really, it blurs perspective, our perspective. It hides the truth, and specifically, it damages our view of ourselves and ultimately of God. You know, a damaged view of ourself. I think, you know, we can either operate our lives either out of shame or self-condemnation when we're kind of caught up in the lies. You know, this can really distort our sense of self in, I guess, two really just major ways. Either we can have just this, you know, sense of pride and, you know, I'm above everyone else and the rules of just decent behavior don't apply to me and, you know, I can do things my way and really ultimately lacking empathy for just anyone else. And the other extreme is just kind of just a low sense of self. You know, we may believe that we don't have worth, we don't have value, that we're not enough, that there's nothing positive that we can bring to the table, so to speak. And, you know, these lies that can kind of just really damage our view of self, completely just disregarding of how God views us. And one really nice just kind of promise and just that God kind of shares with us is actually found in Psalm 139, 14-18. And why don't we, can you read that for us?
Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand.
Thank you. Isn't that awesome? You know, how precious are your thoughts about me, God? They outnumber the grains of sand. You know, I think that's a little more than 6,200 thoughts. What an amazing God that just loves us. Loves us so dearly. And, you know, the second major thing is when we're kind of caught up in lies, we have a damaged view of God. And, you know, I believe how we view God is just, it's everything in comes to making our way through this life in a mature and healthy way. You know, we can see God maybe as someone that's just spiteful, out to harm us, you know, causing us to just run in the other direction, you know, as far away from God as possible as we can. The other flip side of the coin of that is maybe we'll see God as just a God that's just passive. Someone that's supposed to just kind of give us everything when we want it in life. You know, God is there. I'm here. I serve God. God serves us. I do things for God. God does things for me. And it's like this type of transactional relationship with God. You know, when we're caught up in these lies and just this deceit, it just costs us everything of true value. You know, a healthy sense of self, a healthy sense of just others, our life, and just a healthy sense and perspective of God is what it costs us. And if we could just, you know, for one day, just not believe any of these lies, you know, we'd be shocked at just how different, amazing our lives would be, our mindsets, our attitudes would be. And we do have that choice in what we tell ourselves each day. But we can take steps to kind of just help us overcome these lies. So what do we do? You know, to start, I think we really need to break down these mental strongholds that confine us, these lies that seem to just kind of anchor us down. We got to start breaking down these mental strongholds. And to help us overcome, we need to be disciplined, starting with just God's word, disciplined in our prayer, and just disciplined in our fellowship with one another. You know, the first being God's word. You know, Psalm 119, verse 160, it says, you know, the very essence of your word is truth. You know, Jasmine touched upon this in earlier. And, you know, whatever God says is true. God is truth. That, you know, when we read God's word, that it is the truth. John 8, 31 to verse 32, Jesus says, if you are truly my disciples, if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I really don't think Jesus is making a minor point here. I think when we regularly study the Bible, it gives us the Holy Spirit something to work with, and to help renew our minds, to help renew our attitudes. Philippians 4 verse 8, you know, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Guys, Jesus just makes it so clear that we have to search scriptures to kind of just increase knowing the truth, to help cipher through and discern through all these lies, you know, that the Spirit will reveal, that the scripture will reveal. That really helps us and frees us from just a toxic mental, emotional, behavior stronghold. The second thing is discipline in our prayer. You know, in Ephesians 6:18, it says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Pray continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You know, we must have an active prayer life. Conversing with God continually, with others even, with other brothers and sisters. You know, prayer is such a crucial means by which God draws us closer in a relationship with Him, with others, but it also just brings about a significant change in how we think and who we are and how we live. And the third thing that we got to be disciplined is in our fellowship together. You know, if we're to transform in just the way we think, to renew our minds, we can't do it alone. We absolutely can't do it alone. And we have to do it in the context of just a committed and loving relationship with other people. You know, God works through the family of Christ to help those who are wounded. And I'm just so refreshed by the group that Jasmine and I have the privilege of serving. You know, think of the guys when we, you know, get together and just share these thoughts. Try to sift through our thoughts and try to share these lies together. And the growth that we've had is that I've seen, you know, even for just a couple of brothers, that it's just this immense refreshing, this renewing of the mind. And you know, very, very humbling journey. But, you know, specifically, I mean, it's got to the point where, you know, some of these brothers, you know, have seeked out, you know, certain support groups for certain addictions, for, you know, therapy or counseling. And I think it's so humbling to be able to share that. But ultimately, I think this is just such a huge victory.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as men, you know, we can have this kind of idea that, you know, we're not supposed to share these emotions, we're not supposed to talk about these certain things, but to just being able to have a community of guys who are like, hey, you know what, no judgment zone, let's share what's on our hearts, share what's on our minds, and to even take a step further and be like, hey, you know, like, I think there's professionals there that can help us, I think that's an absolute victory, and just a great example of being humble like Christ.
Yeah, and I also appreciate this this point about spiritual discipline and being part of the fellowship. I believe I would do a disservice to myself if I thought that I could battle these lies by myself. And I find it cool when being in fellowship, like even the times when my heart's not engaged or not wanting to, you know, look deeper into it, the moment, like a small moment of humility or vulnerability from someone just instantly is like a catalyst for others to be vulnerable too. And that's just my favorite part about being in the fellowship, that you know, God can't be with us like physically in the flesh at this moment in time to tell us what to do, but he uses people that they can to get me back into the right mental state and to have the right perspective on things.
That's awesome. Thank you. And brothers and sisters, this morning, you know, God will never force us to think the right thoughts or to stop thinking the wrong ones. And I think the choice just really is always ours. Each time we decide to think, we are choosing to walk into either the darkness or the light. And, you know, if we focus on the lies that we believe, it damages our view of ourselves and others, but most importantly, our view of God. And, you know, never allowing us to live the life that God intended us to live. You know, guys, by focusing on the truths and the promises of God, you know, through our personal Bible study, through our prayer, and investing our time with the community of faith, with the small groups we're in, whatever it may be, you know, it will provide a space for our mindset and attitudes to be more like Christ. There's a great quote from an author I really like, from Charles Swindoll. And Jazzyman, just reading that for us.
I believe the single most significant decision I can make on a day-to-day basis is my choice of attitude. It is more important than my past, my education, my bankroll, my successes or failures, fame or pain, what other people think of me or say about me, my circumstances or my position. Attitude keeps me going or cripples my progress. It alone fuels my fire or assaults my hope. When my attitudes are right, there's no barrier too high, no valley too deep, no dream too extreme, and no challenge too great for me.
I love that. Thank you. My hope for all of us this morning is that, you know, as we conclude, you know, that we can willingly just make every humble effort to just be like Christ as the day continues. Let us be mindful of God's promises and truths and not let our minds be full of all the other nonsense. Brothers and sisters, I hope that encouraged you this morning. Thank you for taking the time of worshiping with us this morning. Jazz and I feel honored. And just to conclude our service, I'm just going to end it off with a word of prayer. God, it's so great to just worship you this morning as a family of believers. But more importantly, God, I just pray as the days continue that we can have a mindset set on you, a mindset set on Christ, like Christ, God, to have an attitude like Christ, to be humble, God. Help us discern and sift through certain lies, certain thoughts that Satan might be anchoring us down in, that Satan's trying to, you know, bog us down to just shift our perspective and have these damaged views, God, of who we are to you and who you are, God. I pray that you just cast those thoughts and lies far, far away, Father. Can you pray just for the current circumstances, God? I pray that we can be a light to others, a light to those around us, God, as things slowly open up, Father. I'm just so grateful for your word and for your son and for your grace. Lord, we love you. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.